Ali, you're welcome to Lifeline.
Thank you very much, Ogo.
So from my research, it was amazing to realize that about 28 African countries has been reported to practice female genital mutilation, you know. So, and I know this is a work that Acadia have really worked on and pursued to see that this thing is stopped, you know. So could you tell me what this female genital mutilation means? I know for short some call it FGM.
Okay. Yes, I could. Basically, female genital mutilation is any procedure which injures, alters, removes part or all of a girl's or woman's external genitalia for non-medical reason. And there are four types of female genital mutilation, or FGM. And basically, what it is, it's according to World Health Organization, and the World Health Organization, the people that have kind of put it in the classification of four types. So basically, you are correct in saying 28 countries from Africa are practicing female genital mutilation, but saying that this is not an African practice only. It has been seen in the country that are several countries in Middle East, mm-hmm. Central and South America, and even in Asia. So basically, if I was to give you a little bit statistic of how much of this practice is happening, basically it is estimated that there are 500,000 women and girls are living in Europe that are suffering from a lifelong consequences of FGM, and basically 180,000 are at risk of it every year. Now, if we were to come back in Ireland, basically in Ireland we have a figure of 3,780 women and girls who are estimated to have undergone FGM. And if we are going to go worldwide, they are estimated between 100 to 140 million girls have undergone FGM. So basically, okay, this is a huge, huge practice that is affecting women and girls worldwide. It's not just an Africa kind of, but it's happening in other countries as well, other continent other than Africa.
Okay, so when you say Ireland, is it also in the statistics, are Irish women involved, African,
no,
Asian, or just...
Basically, what I would maybe explain on that,
yeah,
no, we do not have means to say who exactly has been have undergone FGM in Ireland, but what we did, we took central statistic figures from the Irish census of 2011, and also we've taken the figures of migrants who are coming into Ireland from the Reception and Integration Agency in Ireland, and basically we looked at the age that women come in Ireland, or the age of women that are mostly FGM is practiced on, and taken on their country of origin prevalence rate, we kind of correlate those figures and we came with estimate. And that's why I said it's estimated that 3,780 women and girls have undergone FGM in Ireland. So basically, if we had, let's say in Egypt, it's 98%. That is the prevalence rate of Egypt. And basically, if that is taken, we have 2,000 young girls who are at the prime age that have undergone FGM before coming to Ireland. Let's say, for example, I'm not saying this is the age because I have to look at what specific age is being done to girls in Egypt. But if those girls came to Ireland after the age that it would have been done in their country of origin, so we are assuming that they have done FGM before coming to Ireland.
Okay.
We have no evidence that FGM is happening within Ireland, but the people who are coming from their country of origin that have passed the age of have undergone FGM, we are estimating they have FGM.
Okay. So, and Akidwa is trying to create awareness for people to stop this type of thing happening in Africa. Am I right?
Yes, we are not only we are working with the government in Ireland in order to raise awareness within Ireland and outside Ireland and also within the communities, because what we have achieved in Akidwa is basically we have managed to get a law put in place to illegalize female genital mutilation happening in Ireland within Irish soil and also abroad, not to be able to be done to an Irish resident, an Irish citizen in other countries where FGM is illegal. So basically, if someone had to bring her daughter for FGM outside Ireland to a country where FGM is illegal, then we are trying to stop that, because the person who is responsible for that traveling across to the other country, upon their return to Ireland, they could be persecuted.
Okay, because I know that in 2012, the United Nations globally banned FGM, but people still practice it because, and also from what I studied, they said in 1985 it was made illegal in the UK, but it was up until 2014 that the crime was first prosecuted. You know, but I know you, Akidwa has worked so hard on seeing this thing happen, and I know that it's like, I don't really understand whether it's a ritual or it's a rite of passage or it's based on religious beliefs, or it's just because some people say they do it to them before they get married so that they'll be faithful to their husbands. I don't know whether that's a myth. So could you shed more light on that?
Well, FGM, maybe if I could have just give you a little bit of why is it practiced, okay? We don't know the origin of the practice, okay? Because what happens is that there is a mixed cultural, religious, social factor within the families and the communities that those are the main reason for developing and continuation of the practice that comes out when you're talking to those community that practices. But basically, as you said, a rite of passage into womanhood, a thought of preservation of virginity, protecting religion, this is the religious kind of requirement, or for marriageability, you mentioned it yourself. Those reasons is what comes. But if you go to a strongest of them all, is a person's religion, but Akidwa went and researched further. We didn't see any evidence of any of the religion mentioning FGM as a requirement in them. So basically, there is no evidence saying that. So people are practicing it in the name of the religion, while there is no evidence from the religion saying it's a requirement. There are mentioning of in Hadith. I don't know how well you are, because what has been prophets practiced or mentioned with his within at the time when he was then living to other people, then his this becomes like stories of his life, and there was one of them which mentioned something like FGM, but basically it's not to be taken that it's not a strong habit to for people to kind of base their practice on such thing.
Okay, so now who performs this, you know, like
it's being performed by elders within the communities, but in some countries it's being done within the hospital surrounding, in some country it's being done in the bushes, in some country is someone being a private doctor is being hired to come to their houses to do it. So basically it's not just the one person. You have elders who mostly leaders of the communities who have been doing this for years, and they are called like the leaders, women's leader, and they're the ones who also in communities themselves, they're called cutters, or they're called the elders that would come and visit a family at the time when the young girl is ready to be undergoing the practice.
So is this more like circumcision?
It's similar to that, but I wouldn't like to compare. When you say circumcision, it's basically male circumcision you're referring
yes,
to.
Yes, exactly.
But I don't like comparing to male circumcision, because male circumcision, the effect, or I'm not for or against male circumcision, but it's basically the consequences, the complication that happens to a young girl in her life after going through female gender mutilation are extremely huge compared to a male circumcision. So it is similar because it's the same external genitalia that are getting involved, altered, cut or removed, but still the consequences of FGM, a young girl could end up with lifelong complication after going such a practice.
Okay, can you then tell me about, give me examples of those consequences? I know that some say that maybe you could have difficulty during childbirth, or you might not even be able to get pregnant, or I don't know. I'm just, this is just, it's not like my study,
there are two types of complication.
Okay.
There are short-term complication that can happen immediately, and there are long-term complication. Well, I'll start with the short-term. The most severe is death.
Okay.
A girl could die because given the part that is being cut, bleeding could occur and the girl could die.
Okay?
Infection and failure of the wound to heal because of the lack of cleanliness at the procedure. If someone is getting it done in the bushes, definitely there's no sterile cutting equipment for her to have cleanliness and infection controlled. Okay? There's injury and trauma to adjoining areas such as urethra and anal, shock from severe pain and bleeding, tetanus and transmission of HIV and other virus, blood-borne viruses. Okay, those are short-term complications. Long-term complications are anemia, decrease of loss of sexual sensation, difficult and complicated childbirth, difficult in passing menstruation, including passing of menses, which is called dysmenorrhea. This is the medical term for it. Dyspareunia, which is painful intercourse, and especially where the part, maybe I should have gone, but I could go into it after this, the different types of FGM, okay? So dyspareunia is painful intercourse. Incontinence and difficult urinating, this is another complication. Pelvic inflammatory diseases and infertility, another one. Psychological trauma, recurrent urinary tract infections, scarring and hardening of the vaginal tissue causing constant pain around the genital area, and sebaceous cyst development. So basically, these are the long-term complications. Now, I said I was going to tell you the different types of FGM, because if you know by just kind of going through what types and what is involved, then maybe you'll be able to understand it more. Okay?
Yeah.
Type 1, okay, it's where basically is the partial or total removal of clitoris and the hood, plus or minus, I mean, hood and the clitoris. Okay? This is type 1. Type 2 is basically whereby you have removal, partial or total removal of clitoris and labia minora, the thin lips with or without excision of labia majora, the thick lips, okay?
Yeah.
Type 3 is also called infibulation, whereby narrowing of the vaginal opening through creation of a covering seal. The seal is formed by cutting and repositioning the inner or the outer labia with or without removal of the clitoris, okay? Clitoris, sorry.
Yes.
Now, type 4 is whereby all other procedure to the female genitalia for non-medical purpose, for example, pricking, piercing, incising, scraping, and cauterizing the genital area. So basically, this is if you're thinking of how these thoughts are, and then what happens after some of it is removed, then you'll be able to understand the complication much more.
No, I'm a woman, so my imagination is already running wild. You know, so,
okay.
But because now that you're explaining this to me, what I'm thinking is, why do they do that? What's the advantage, you know, having to put a woman or a young girl through all that vigorous suffering? You know, why would they do that? What's, do you get my point?
Yeah.
You know, well,
basically, at the age where this FGM is practiced, okay, it's mm-hmm. practiced between four, mostly, okay, it's happening between 4 and 10 years, okay. But saying that, it can happen in some community, it can happen at any time, from childhood to adulthood, okay. So, if someone, it's been done, as you said, to a young girl, okay, why would it now? Marriage equality. Most of the culture are preparing your young girl to be able to get married. Now, if you're getting married, you're definitely, your husband is expecting to have a young
virgin.
Girl who's
yeah.
virgin.
Yeah.
And so protect virginity is also comes in while you're doing it. Social acceptance within your social, cultural, and community to be accepted as a young girl who is accepted within her community, so this is also cleanliness. The parts that are being removed, they are regarded as in unsanitized. They are not the parts are not required by a woman in her life, okay? And then lastly, and the strongest reason, they're doing it in the name of the religion, which is, again, as I said, there is no evidence in any of the religion requiring or mentioning FGM as a requirement. So basically, those are the things. And the overall, again, there's other is to control sexual urgency for your young girl, that if she's not over-sexually so basically, she would be faithful to her husband as well. So it's all those reasons of why it's being done. Now, this is not from one community. These reasons are being compiled from different communities that practice. Why are they doing it? They're doing it for this reason, comes from one community and the other one. So there are a lot of communities that have been asked and researched on, and these are the common
reason
of why practicing it that comes across. Yes.
Okay. Anyway, Ali, that's all the time I have. I know you're very busy, and I really do appreciate the fact that you were able to speak to me. So hopefully I'll see you much later this evening.
Thank you.